But let's now fast forward to 2010, and as we mentioned earlier, the Space Shuttle Discovery is halfway through its mission to the International Space Station and launched last Monday night, our time here in Australia. And the mission's been going quite well. They've completed three spacewalks. There's a small problem cropped up today with one of the tanks. They're putting these ammonia tanks on the space station to help them with generating electricity, and evidently there's a leak or a problem with one of them that they've attached. So they're talking about maybe having to go back out and do another spacewalk to put in another tank or do something else, because electricity demand would be diminished if the tanks aren't operating correctly. So that's ongoing at the moment. Another piece of news around in America at the moment is people may recall that President Obama earlier in the year made a big announcement to cut back the space program, the Constellation program, which was designed to put the Americans to the moon and then beyond that to Mars. He basically cancelled that program, saying that it had been underfunded from day one, and that on its current progress, it's never going to get us to where we want to go, so it's no point in continuing it on. He's going to be in Florida at the Kennedy Space Center on Thursday, and our very own Andrew Rennie will be there. I don't think he's going to get an opportunity to ask him any questions, but apparently he's going to make some announcements relating to the Constellation program, and they may salvage a couple of bits and pieces of that program to keep things moving along, and they're going to possibly announce that they're going to commit to building a heavy booster, finalise the design in 2015. But anyway, that's
all.
Does
that look like it will be?
Well,
a strong chance, or it's just...
Well, I mean, he's, a year into his term. It's a four-year term. The plan would be to make a decision, a final decision, on this heavy lift booster by 2015, which is actually after he may or may not be voted out. So it's a positive step, and, okay, if they start working on it tomorrow, they'll get a lot of work done. What it means, I don't know. A strange thing over in America where... The politics over there are a little different to Australia. Like in Australia, you generally have your political party has a policy on a certain issue. But in America and the politics over there, the Democrats and the Republicans, which are the two main parties, don't seem to have policies quite like that. It's very much centred around the individual, the president that gets voted, gets nominated and then gets elected. Mm. So you can't say that the Democrats are more pro space than the Republicans. It doesn't kind of work that way, but anyway, we'll see. But anyway, for those people that were interested in hearing the space shuttle discovery, you may not have seen all the news. We've actually got an audio track of that. It gives a bit of an overview of the mission and the sound of the launch. So we'll go to that right now, and then we'll be speaking to Andrew Rennie shortly after that.
Minus 15 seconds, and the sound suppression water system has been activated. We have a go for main start. Three engines up and ready. 3, 2, 1, 0. Booster ignition and liftoff of Discovery, blazing a trail to scientific discoveries aboard space station.
Houston Discovery, roll program.
Roger, roll Discovery.
Decision Control Houston, Space Shuttle Discovery is rolling into a heads-down position, putting it on course for 51.6 degree, 136 by 36 statute line orbit, and eventually the International Space Station. Throttling down to reduce stress on the shuttle as it travels through the area of maximum dynamic pressure. Discovery is already at an altitude of 4.7 miles or 26,500 feet. Traveling.
Discovery, go at throttle up.
Roger, go at throttle up.
Traveling 1,000 miles per hour, Discovery's engines are now throttled back up and performing at full capability. At liftoff, the shuttle weighed more than 4.5 million pounds, and now 1 minute and 27 seconds into the flight, the main engines and solid rocket boosters have reduced that weight by about half. Solid rocket boosters alone are burning 11,000 pounds of propellant per second, and the external tank is now 3,000 pounds lighter than when it began. Discovery is now 21 miles away from its launch pad and 22 miles in altitude, traveling 2,700 miles per hour. All three main engines are working just as expected. The three fuel cells are generating power, and the three auxiliary power units are all producing pressure. In short, everything performing well. The booster officer in the Mission Control Center has confirmed solid rocket booster separation. All systems continuing to function well.
And we appear to have our technical issues sorted out, and hopefully you'll be able to hear Andrew Rennie from Florida. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am.
That's
welcome,
great.
Peter.
So, how's your week been? Been sitting around the pool drinking cocktails or what?
Well, I've been in the pool a little bit. I went down to the Florida Keys and drove all the way down to Key West.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And when I got down there, I saw a whole lot of people, just as I'm going into Key West, the town, I saw a whole lot of people sitting on the side of the road. You know, cars and things and having picnics and stuff. And I thought, what a curious place on the middle of the freeway to have a picnic. And then suddenly, whoosh, across came a jet. And of course, I was outside the Key West Naval Air Station.
Uh-huh. Keeping an eye on Cuba, were they?
No, it wasn't an invasion from Cuba. It was an air show. So they had an air show on Saturday and Sunday.
Fantastic.
And I thought, oh, good, I'll go to that. But on the way down to Key West, I read a newspaper. And it had an advertisement for a rally in Cocoa. Now, Cocoa's a town just slightly inland from Cocoa Beach and Cape Canaveral. And just a little bit south of the Kennedy Space Center. And this was a Save Space rally. Well, I had a difficult decision. Did I stay down in Key West where I really wanted to be, or did I come back for the space rally?
Hey, you're a professional reporter.
So the next day, I turned around and drove back up to Cocoa and arrived there on Sunday afternoon. I didn't go to the air show. And I went to this rally.
And what was the rally for, Andrew?
It was a rally for Save Space.
What, putting Save things in cupboards program. And putting them away where they should be, or not leaving your toys out, or what?
Sorry, what's that?
What's the campaign?
The campaign is to literally save space. In other words, to make sure that Americans stay supreme in space. It was very, very pro-American. Not quite so much anti-Russian and anti-Chinese, but there were placards saying, I don't want to have to learn Chinese or Russian to go into space.
Right, because
there was a tenor of it. And it was a bit like a cross between a 1950s Billy Graham Christian revivalist meeting, an AFL football match, and a rock concert, and a political rally. Mm. Now, we don't have political rallies in Australia, but they do over here. And it was very emotional. And the lineup of speakers included United States Senator George Lemieux, United States Representative Susan Cosmas, K-O-S-M-A-S.
We'll get it on the transit trip later on.
So United States Representative Bill Posey, Florida Lieutenant Governor Jeff Kotkamp spoke.
Okay.
Florida Senator Mike Haridopoulos spoke, and I also interviewed him. Then there was the Brevard County School Board member and the Brevard County Commissioner, Robin Fisher. Now, Brevard County is where the Kennedy Space Center is, so that's very much, you know, any cuts to the space program will severely affect this area of Florida.
So this is generally...
And I've heard that from so many people.
This is a response to Barack Obama's proposal to the Congress to
cut
Constellation program.
Yes, I was working up towards that. What's happening? But I'll just go through who else are there. Three astronauts were there and spoke: John McBride, Winston Scott, and Bob Springer. And again, I was able to interview some of those afterwards. I recorded the whole thing, and it's going to sound really amazing when we get it to air. It opened with prayers and songs, quite openly religious songs, because the event actually started as going to be a small prayer meeting in a church. And it grew and grew and grew, and eventually ended up in this baseball stadium, the Coco Expo, they call it, a baseball stadium with about 5,000 people present. So there's music and inspirational songs about soaring to the stars, and then school children spoke. I interviewed one of them afterwards, and she gave a very emotional talk. She's 11 years old, and an impassioned plea. But it turned out that it had been written for her by an adult, and she'd been given to it 2 days before to memorize. And I've been totally sucked in by this. I thought this was her genuine thoughts of an 11-year-old. Yes. Now, why all this? Because Barack Obama has actually given NASA more money, but he's cut back the Go to the Moon program and said, well, look, private enterprise can do it if they want. Barack Obama is coming here tomorrow, and he's going to be speaking to the Kennedy Space Center workers. They're having a sort of a forum. And I have applied, but haven't yet got a pass to go to that rally and see Barack Obama. And he's flying in this afternoon, Florida time. That's Wednesday, Florida time. And in Air Force One, directly into the Kennedy Space Center. He's going to be whisked around to the industrial area of the Space Center. Remember, the Space Center is a huge complex of industry, launch pads, and clean rooms, and so on. And he's going to speak there to what's called a community forum, and part of it will be open to the media, and that's the part that I've applied for. And then they whisk him back to the shuttle landing facility, and Air Force One will take off, and he'll disappear again. Now, no one knows exactly what he's going to say, whether he's going to make a new policy announcement or just try and soothe the ruffled feathers of lots of angry people down here.
Actually, Andrew, I've got a little bit of information on that. Overnight, some information's come out from the White House, and don't give full details, but what they're saying is he's going to announce the reinstigation of the development of the Orion crew capsule, but it will be a scaled-back version designed for low-Earth orbit only. It's apparently going to be launched on an unmanned, uncrewed, and it's going to go to the space station as a crew return vehicle. I guess it's a bit of a, you know, well, I'll give you a little bit back to keep you quiet. And the other part of it is that he's going to commit to going ahead and developing final designs and deciding on the exact structure of a heavy lift vehicle by 2015. So the idea, I think, from reading what I've seen, is that by 2015 they'll have a design, a plan, and I don't know how much testing they would have done, whether any hardware's actually been developed, to decide on the heavy lift vehicle. So that's, I guess, trying to smooth those ruffled feathers. So there you go.
Well, if he does announce that, it will be received to, I guess, tumultuous applause, because at the moment, Obama is not Mr. Popular in this part of the world, both with Democrats and with Republicans. And I've spoken to so many people. I was in a shopping mall here in Titusville yesterday afternoon, and in the car park outside there were about four cars, and I saw someone coming out with an ice cream, and I thought, this place is open. It's not. It looked like a totally deserted mall. And I went in, and there's a clothing shop called J.C. Penney, which is a major retailer in America there. And in the rest of the mall, it's totally deserted except for two shops that were open. And this guy who was selling ice creams and drinks and stuff, and I spoke to him. And he said that, that the economic situation had gone bad, and that there were only about three tenants left in this huge shopping mall. Now, you imagine something that's sort of, not as big as Southlands, but certainly as big as, say, the Glen shopping mall in Glen Waverley, something the size of that, with only three tenants in it, one of the majors, and then a couple of wee tiny little shops open, and in the middle of them all, the ice cream guy selling ice creams.
Mm.
And I spoke to him, and he said that times were really, really hard, and that if they downsize the Kennedy Space Center, it's going to decimate the business in this whole area.
Well, that's what a lot of people forget. They say, well, why are we spending all this money in space, and why are we wasting it all? But no money gets put in the space shuttle and shot off to space. All the money gets spent on Earth, and people buy things, people employed, people buy houses, and so I believe it's one of the ultimate economic stimulus packages, and I think they should be pushing ahead. But I guess he's got a lot of issues on his plate trying to balance budgets, etc. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, that was the point of this rally. To try and get the message through, and they had a big banner and so on that they're going to give to Obama, with signatures on it and so on. Anyway,
on sure
to other matters.
Yesterday
they rolled the Atlantis from the Orbiter Processing Facility, which is a big sort of shed that they prepare the space shuttles for flight, and they rolled the Atlantis out. And normally they roll it out along a sort of a concrete pathway into the vehicle assembly building, which is about 100 meters away. And normally it runs out, and that takes, maybe 20 minutes or so to get it from one building into the other. And then they go into the vehicle assembly building, which is that huge building they built for the Apollo days. It used to be the largest building in the world. And they call that the big shed. And what they did yesterday was they rolled it out and then stopped and left it there for nearly 3 hours out in the sunshine for the workers to come out and take photographs, because this is the last time the Atlantis will be rolled from one building into the other in preparation for its flight next month in May. And there are hundreds of people out there, in groups, getting group photos taken in front of the Atlantis and so on. Well, of course, the bonus for me was that I was able to stand right beside this vehicle, not quite able to touch it because the men in black were there with their guns to make sure I didn't actually steal anything from it. The workers were there standing beside it and getting their photographs taken and so on, and this was quite an emotional time for them because they've worked on the Atlantis now for about 20 years, and this is the last time that they've worked to prepare it for space. And I couldn't see tears in their eyes, but certainly it was showing in their faces that and their body language that, this is a sad moment for them, and also a proud moment.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it would be made less painful if there was a positive and clear road forward, but at the moment it's very unclear, and essentially, the end of the year they're looking like the whole program will be finished and who knows what follows. And so there's people's livelihood, but also their interest, their passion, and their pride of the nation, I suppose, being able to go into space isn't there.
Another thing I've been doing is doing the tourist thing, and I've been to the Kennedy Space Center's visitors complex, and there's so many things to do there. if you just buy a normal day, a so-called day pass, it's actually valid for 2 days, because you just cannot do everything there in 1 day. They have IMAX movies showing. Now, speaking of IMAX, there's a new film out called Hubble 3D. It documents the missions of the space shuttle to fix and refurbish the Hubble Space Telescope, in particular the last mission to Hubble. And it also brings into life some of the Hubble pictures. And they spent a whole weekend, for example, with the supercomputers, the world's fastest computers, rendering some of the Hubble pictures into 3D, and you fly through the Orion Nebula.
Wow.
Now, Orion is a constellation in our summer sky, and there's this area in it that's a bit fuzzy to the naked eye, and through a telescope it shows as a bright blob, and that's an area of starburst. And we, and in this movie, fly right through it. Well, I spoke to James Niehaus, who was the director of photography on that film, and I recorded an interview, which we'll hear on the Space Show sometime in the future. And he also worked on Mission to Mir, the movie, a Hubble movie about the mission to Mir, which is only ever shown one screening only in Melbourne, which is a pity. But he worked on this Hubble 3D, and he told me all sorts of things about how the movie was made and so on. So that was pretty good. And it's directed by Tony Myers, who also did the Space Station 3D movie, which has been showing in Melbourne now for about 5 or 6 years. So he had some really fascinating stories to tell, including one, which I'll just tell you, I'll save the rest for when we play his interview. In the shuttle movie, many of our listeners will have seen Space Station 3D, and if you haven't, do go to IMAX and see it. It's an absolutely wonderful movie. But when the Proton rocket lifts off from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan, bringing the launching the Zarya, which is the first module for the space station, a rock comes flying off the launch pad and smashes into the camera. And he said, you know, he's seen many people in the movie take off their glasses and check that the glasses aren't broken. Well, because when he got out to the launch pad after the launch, he was dismayed to see this camera, you know, this camera lens all smashed.
Oh,
and he thought, oh, I've lost my film. I've come all the way around the world to film this launch, and I've got nothing. But when they got it back to America and they developed the film, they found it was safe, and that the smash had happened after the Proton had gone off the screen. So they got the shot they want, and they also got the smashing, and they decided to leave that in the film. And of course, it turns out to be one of the highlights of the film. So out of accidents, some of the best moments in a film can happen.
Mm. So what's on the plan for the next few days, Andrew?
Well,
apart from Mr. Obama,
this Obama event, which is Thursday in American time, Thursday afternoon, which will be sort of over late Thursday evening, Friday morning in Melbourne. And we'll chase up what he says, and how, you know, and then I'll be looking at getting reactions of people. A number of other events are coming up soon. There's going to be a rollout of the next space shuttle, Atlantis, on its solid rocket boosters and so on, and that's due for the 20th of April.
Okay.
And oh, of course, the landing is due. It's been put back a day. It's now going to be Monday instead of Sunday.
Well, we mentioned to the listeners before they may actually be doing another spacewalk, Andrew. I don't know whether you've heard that. They've got a problem with one of the ammonia tanks. So,
yeah, the ammonia
not sure whether
tank,
that will extend the mission or not.
Yes, I was listening to the mission directors explaining that yesterday. There's a problem with the tank, and I haven't been able to chase up exactly what happened because, you know, doing other things. But they may have to, it said, as you said, may have to do an extra spacewalk. They've done several already. My problem here is that all the spacewalks are happening during our nighttime here in America, but during your daytime. Now, normally it's the reverse. So it's actually easier for people in Australia to follow the spacewalks than it is for me.
Yes, I've been having a little monitor in my screen at work watching some of it.
Yes.
I hope my boss isn't
listening. I haven't actually seen the spacewalks on this mission because I'm locked out. The media centre shuts down at 4:30 in the afternoon and doesn't open again till 8 in the morning.
Well, they've been very lucky on the...
During the daytime, nothing much is happening.
They've been very lucky on the spacewalks. The weather has been perfect. Boom, boom. Fantastic. Well, Andrew, it's been wonderful to speak with you. We've got to wind this up now and hand over to the next show, which they're in the next studio. We all miss you very much. We're all very jealous of your experiences over there, and thanks for keeping us up to date. And we'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
Okay, then.
Take care.
Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay.
Good luck with Mr.
Bye.
Obama.
Bye.
And that was Andrew Rennie live from Florida, where he's been having a whale of a time, and I don't think we're going to get him back. He just seems to be having too much fun. So he's up to his ears in spacecraft and astronauts and presidents and politicians and ice cream vendors. So, guys, I guess we're about almost out of here.
We've actually got a couple of minutes.
We've got a couple of minutes. Yeah. Well, what are we talking about? Well, okay. Well, the program you've been listening to is The Space Show, and it's brought to you by the Space Association of Australia. We're a non-profit, non-political interest group dedicated to astronautics and spaceflight. We're not into astrology and...
Astronomy.
Not into astronomy. We like astronomy, but it's not our field. We certainly welcome anyone who's into astronomy along to the meetings. We have monthly meetings at the Oakley RSL, and we have a very sophisticated formula for working out when it's on. It's the first Thursday of the month. The FTOM formula. And so our meetings are on at the Oakley RSL. Hey, this is a spacey thing. You've got to have acronyms down, right, guys? And it's on at 7 p.m. till about 9:30. There's a restaurant there. You can come along and have something to eat and a drink if you wish. And we have interesting topics each week, DVDs, presentations, live presentations from different people, all kinds of fascinating individuals.
I was going to ask you, Peter, I don't know if I've asked this before, is it all male?
No, we have, we've got a pretty even balance, actually. A number of women come along, and we get a couple of kids along.
Excellent.
So we keep it G-rated. And... No, we have a good time, and it's a good. Okay,
we're going to pass over to Purple Haze now.
Purple Haze, fantastic.
Catch you all next week.
Same time, same channel. Place. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mark, and Mike.
-20 and counting. 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have ignition. 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
Magic is
The best blend of music, community news and views. The Great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.